Acts 23, if you'd like to turn there. Now, the ushers are going to walk down the aisle just briefly because they have Bibles in hand to make sure you have a Bible in hand. Just raise your hand. They'll pass one over to you. They also have pencils for keeping notes. You can do that on your bulletin. We always encourage you to learn to keep notes or get a journal going. You remember more. You retain more if you do that. But in particular, make sure you have a Bible because we will be studying from the Word of God this morning. And turn to Acts, the book of Acts. You've got the four Gospels in the New Testament and then the book of Acts. Go to the 23rd chapter. You know, these microphones are pretty cool things nowadays. They're getting more and more things going on. We were at a thing the other day at another church, and they had a kind of an ear microphone, a little bit different design than this. And of course, as a pastor and speaker, I was watching and see how that one worked. And they really are pretty interesting, you know. I mean, there's a wire from here to this, but there's no wire from this back to the soundboard. They just have a receiver back there, and I speak what I'm speaking, and it goes through my body, I guess, or through this pulpit, or bounces around the room or something, and it winds up at that receiver right there, and you hear my voice. And pretty awesome the way that works. A lot like how God works. He is speaking, but the receiver's got to be on. If that receiver back there is not on, then I sound a whole lot like this. I turn it on like that. I'm probably driving Rick nuts back there. But okay, I think I'm back on. But you can see the idea is God is speaking. By the power of the Holy Spirit, through His Word, He's speaking. But if the receiver's not on, I'm not going to get too far. I pray this morning that as we gather, we'll just let everything be pushed out of the way. All those things from our week, the distractions of our week, the pressures of our lives, financial pressures, health issues, so many things that get in the way. Now, God's not down on us when we experience those, but He has answers. He has encouragement. He has healing. And this morning, our great need is to receive. So just know that He's speaking, and I pray that He'd find receivers within us, so to speak. Acts 23, we're going to start at verse 10. Acts 23, verse 10 this morning. Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring him into the barracks. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome." As we begin our time this morning, I have a question for you. Now, once you hear the question, you'll probably say, "Come on, Pastor, who hasn't had that happen?" But what I want to ask you is, have you ever failed? Now, don't answer out loud. I want you just to begin to think about this. But have you ever had something in your life happen that you didn't plan on it going that way, but it did? You had expectations and hopes and dreams of things going a certain way, and you planned towards that end. You prayed towards that end, but things did not go as you had hoped. You ever had that experience? Maybe you've had that experience in your life. As you look back upon your life, you can see things. Maybe it's right now, something right now. You feel like you've failed. It just hasn't gone the way you thought it would. Well, Paul knows exactly how that feels. Consider how Paul might have felt on that night in which he was sitting in the cell there in the Antonio Fortress. But also consider now what Jesus says to him. For in verse 11 we read, "The Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome.'" What an awesome word this is. And what a great promise for Paul. If Paul will just receive it, meaning act on it, rest in it, it will make all the difference. So it's a great promise to Paul, but it's also a great reminder for you, believer. So I've called our time together this morning based on these couple of verses. I've called our time, "The Lord Stood By Him." Let's pray. Father, we thank You that as we gather, we have that assurance that just as You were there with Paul, You're here with us. Indeed, You indwell every believer. But Lord, we confess. We lose sight of that. We get our eyes on the things around us and off of you sometimes. Things do get in the way, Lord. So we're asking, Lord, you lift off the distractions now. And help us to be receivers of what you would have for us. Receivers of the hope and the promise, the peace, the power, the healing. Whatever the needs might be. Lord, you are speaking. Your Holy Spirit is at work. Again, we confess. We're the weak link in this thing, Lord. Help us. Would you help us to hear and then to go out and do, meaning to go out and rest in what you're about to show us. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we join Paul here in Acts chapter 23, let's remember where we are in the big picture. Paul at this point has gone up to Jerusalem. He's there for the Feast of Pentecost. But while he's there in the temple, there are some Jews who recognize him. Some Jews who heard Paul when he was preaching out in Asia. And they begin to stir up the people against Paul. And a kind of riot begins to occur. The Jews grab Paul, drag him outside the temple area, and begin to beat him up. Well, the Roman soldiers who are there watching things from the Antonio Fortress, which adjoins the Temple Mount there, they see what's going on, and the commander and his troops rush down, and they rescue Paul. That sounds a lot like what we read this morning, but that actually was back in the previous chapter. Now, as they begin to take Paul, rescue him from those who are out to harm him, they're taking him up the stairs to the barracks there, and Paul says, "Hey, I'd like to speak to the people." So the commander says, "Go ahead." So Paul, in the previous chapter, looks out amongst all these Jews gathered for the festival there, the feast, on the Temple Mount. He begins to share with them. And everything was going along pretty good. Go back one chapter, chapter 22. Everything was going along pretty good as he's sharing until verse 21 of chapter 22. Then he said to me, otherwise he's right now, Paul's repeating, recounting what the Lord had showed him, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles." And they listened to him and tell this word. And then they raised their voices and said, "Away with such a fellow from the earth, for he is not fit to live." Then as they cried out and tore off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And so that's the occasion that I've just mentioned to you. He was trying to share with this whole group of people on the Temple Mount. We'll look down at verse 30 of that same chapter, chapter 22, where it tells us the next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews. The first he here is the commander. The second one is Paul. He's trying to figure out why the Jews don't like Paul. He released him from his bonds and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. So this brings us to our focus verses for the morning. Paul is about to appear before the Sanhedrin. That's the group of religious leaders of the Jews in that day. He tried to speak to all the people in chapter 22, and things were going okay till he should have the audacity to declare that God loves Gentiles as well as Jews. And the Jews couldn't handle that, and a big riot occurs. And so they won't hear it. So the next day, the commander, trying to figure out what to do with Paul here and why the Jews are against Paul so much, orders the Sanhedrin to meet with Paul there and all and to try to figure out what they have against him. Let's read it now, starting in verse 1 of 23. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. Then Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall, for you sit to judge me according to the law, and you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" Then Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was the high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of a ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." And when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. and the assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and bring them into the barracks. Two times now, Paul has tried to share with his brethren. Once on the steps leading up into the barracks to all the Jews there that were can hear him in the Temple Mount. And now before the Sanhedrin, he begins to try to share again. But both times, at least from the natural point of view, both times have been total flops. Totally didn't go the way Paul had expected or hoped they would go. So I ask you to think about, what must it have been like for Paul that night as he sat in the fortress cell? Sometimes our fears and awe can even seem worse at night as we lay there and ruminate on our circumstances. Paul had wanted to evangelize the Jews for so long. It was his desire. He had such a burden for his fellow Jews to be saved, to know the Messiah, Jesus. In the book of Romans, Paul writes this in Romans 9, 1 through 3. He says, "I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bear me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." You know, I don't know too many, if any of us would be willing to say that about anybody. To actually say, "Lord, if it means me spending eternity separate from you that they might be saved, I'd be willing to do it. I would spend eternity in hell if they in turn could be in heaven." But that's how strongly he felt for them. And so we see that he had prayed for them and longed to share with them. Oh, how he loved his fellow Jews. But now he sits here. After two attempts to share with them, he wanted to share God's love and the gospel and good news. But after both attempts, now he sits here. Everything seemingly has gone so poorly. I wonder how he felt. Perhaps he's sad, wondering what would happen to him next. Can God even use him? Is this the end of the line? I want you this morning to take a few moments and put yourself in Paul's sandals. I want you to picture yourself right there with Paul, as Paul, this morning. Perhaps in a way you're already there. What I mean is, first of all, let's think about this direct application. Perhaps there has been, or there's somebody right now, that you also have been trying to share God's love with them. And you prayed about it, and you thought how you were going to share it. And you just knew that if you could just convey the Lord's heart to them, just like He had touched you, that surely they would understand and receive. And so you went to share. Maybe it was a relative or a neighbor, a co-worker or somebody, and you kind of had it all planned out. But you began to share, and they had questions you weren't expecting or just whatever, and everything got off, and they just weren't open. They didn't receive. And maybe even feel like, "Oh, Lord, I had all these plans, but I said it so poorly. I wanted to say this and this, but I forgot that, and I really didn't word this very well." And you sit there thinking, "Oh, man, what happened? I had all these plans for it to go so well." So you feel like somehow you failed God or you didn't say things right. The whole discussion just didn't convey your heart. You got off on the law or something, and it just wasn't what you wanted to say. Another application might be, maybe it wasn't an issue of salvation, but it was somebody you wanted to talk to in terms of something else. Maybe you're a parent and you're with your child, or maybe with a friend or relative or something, and you're concerned. There's an issue in their life you're concerned about, and you care about them, you love them, and so you went to share with them. Maybe they're making some decisions that just aren't good, or they're headed some direction that's going to lead to nowhere good. And so you went to share with them, hoping to convey your heart. But instead, maybe things got heated, they misunderstood, it went off in different directions, and you wound up sitting there going, what happened? You know, you're back at your house or sitting in your car going, what happened? How did that, you know, you pretty soon you're going like that, Adam, you know, and you're, oh man, what am I doing? And you wonder, what did I do? Lord, I prayed about it, I planned, how did it wind up like this? Or maybe there's someone you've had a fight with, and you wanted to go and reconcile. You realized that you had your side of it, and you wanted to go and seek some forgiveness and work it out. But you sat down, and all of a sudden they got heated again, and you're back on the same old things, and seem like they're not listening to you. And again, you later you're going, man, what happened? Now it's worse than ever. Maybe it's somebody you've grown distant with, and you wanted to get close again, and you were sure if you could just let them know that. But again, it just went poorly. It just didn't go well. But there's even a further application, not just in this case, maybe sharing the gospel or trying to share one-on-one, but maybe in your own life. Maybe you relate to Paul in terms of things haven't gone the way you thought they would in your life. And there's a ton of ways that that might be. In this room, that I suspect there are many, many people who say, yeah, I fit in that one. That you thought things would go a certain way. If you made certain choices, you'd end up in a certain place. But then it hasn't gone that way. And so you sit here. I don't know, some examples might be you had planned, you were going to go to college and get that degree and have a certain career. But you got married and the bills were a lot and you had to drop out of school for a while and get a job and you kept intending to get back to school, but then the kids came along and it never seemed to come together and you feel like, gosh, I never got to be what I thought I was supposed to be and it didn't go the way I thought there, and you feel like maybe that you're out of sync with God's plan and now you settle for second best in your mind, or you failed Him in some way. You know, you don't see God in it. You wonder if He even has a plan for you. Or maybe it's in a relationship. Maybe you're estranged from, distant to children or parents or whatever. And your heart's grieving for it. It isn't the way you thought it would be, but sure enough, there you sit. Maybe you're divorced. And you sit here going, what happened? How did we go from the couple we were when we met and got married to where there were the fights and the distance and all the things that can get in there? What happened to me and us? And so now you sit here and feel like maybe you're on the shelf. Or maybe it's in terms of ministry. You have a strong calling. You feel the desire to share the Lord, but He doesn't seem like He's opening any doors, and it's been a long time, or maybe you did share it, it didn't go well, or maybe you had a thriving ministry once, but God closed the door on it, and you're wondering, is He through with me? See, there's so many applications here where we can feel like we've failed, or we can look at our lives and say, Lord, is this what You intended? And I feel, Lord, like I'm out of sync with You, or I feel like it just hasn't gone the way I sure thought it would. And I suspect if I were to ask, if we had time to go around the room and ask if anybody here can relate to that, I suspect there would be a number of us. So maybe you're wondering, what now? Where do I go from here? Am I really even still usable by God? Consider Paul. Now, I realize we can't say for sure what Paul was feeling that night as he sat there in the jail. The text doesn't directly tell us what he was feeling. But I think there are two ways to have an idea. I think we get a pretty good idea. First of all, just by putting ourselves in Paul's sandals. We can think how we might feel. He had those two times, after all those years and prayer and everything, he got up and he shared his heart twice, and it had gone so poorly, at least it seemed like. Lord, what happened? But not only can we just probably get an idea by just putting ourselves in his sandals, But we're not limited to just that. For we can get an idea of how Paul might have felt by the things that Jesus now says to him. What we're about to read shows that the Lord speaks directly to these attitudes of the mind and heart of Paul and to us. Let's look at it. Verse 11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said. Don't miss that. It says, Jesus stood by him. Now, Paul knew the Lord was always with him and within him. For every believer, he's in us. But somehow there was this special manifestation. Was it an actual physical manifestation? Some commentators believe so. Others feel like it was just an extra special sense of God's presence there. But either way, it was in such a way that there was no doubt that the Lord was standing by him. I pray that that ministers to you, but I'm afraid too often it doesn't to many believers. That in whatever you might encounter, Jesus stands by us. What a difference that makes. In Hebrews 13, 5 and 6, we read, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? For he himself has said, it declares here, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Believer, what does the continual presence of Jesus mean to you? Unfortunately, I suspect some would say, frankly, I lose sight of that a lot. I go on my own strength, my own wisdom, my own agenda, my own will. Unfortunately, I let things get in the way of a sense of his presence. The receiver isn't tuned in on too many days. And yet he wants us to know that from his side, he is there. Jesus told his disciples, a well-known verse, let me just read this, Matthew 28, 18 and following. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So here we have the Lord declaring all authority has been given to him. And now that we're his, he's saying, now I'm giving you a commission. Go. Go and make disciples of all the nations. And then the Lord says, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I will see you at the other end of your life. I hope you make it. What, yours doesn't say that? Oh, don't let me get away with that. No, of course it doesn't. And he says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. The Greek word there, always, means just as it says, all the days. Andrew Murray says, he means to give us the assurance that there is not to be a day of our life in which that blessed presence is not to be with us. And that all the days implies all the day. 24/7, he's with us. He's here right now. Now, for some, and I appreciate you guys saying amen. It encourages me. But do we really believe it and practice it? Some do. Some of us just give it lip service. We say it, but do we really understand he's right here? Well, I don't see him. No, you don't see the signal going from here to the receiver either, but you know it's happening. And he is right here with us. Even more, if you've received Christ, he's right there in you, wanting to strengthen and carry and encourage and all the things that relationship is meant to be. But it starts with a consciousness of that presence, kind of dialed in. Do we understand? He's right here, and he's, Lord, you're in here? Yes. He's taken up residence in us. There doesn't have to be a moment in time when we cannot experience his presence. Ministering to us, encouraging us, reminding us of his love and of his plan. Just like Paul. For what does it say in verse 11? The Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul. Cheer? Let me remind you, Lord, I'm in a jail. And I got all kinds of people guarding me here. And actually, I'm not so sure it'd be too good if I get out of here, because I got even more people outside wanting to tear me limb from limb. Lord, I tried to share about you, and it all went south. I feel like I failed. I don't know what's going on. Are you going to be able to use me? I'm going to be of good cheer. Yep, the Lord says, Paul, be of good cheer. Anybody have another translation for the word cheer? Anybody else? What is it? Say it out loud. Courage. Because that's actually the better definition in that case, better of that word there. It's a word that means be of good courage. Be courageous, Paul. Get your eyes off the circumstances and look up. Hard to do, but so rewarding when we do. Be of good courage. You see, the if onlys and the whys of this life can weigh so heavy on us. Why, Lord, has it gone this way? If only I had done that. If only I had... You fill it in. Whatever you're putting there. If only. And they weigh so heavy on us. But the Lord comes and speaks, be of good courage. Take courage. And notice, the Lord doesn't get on Paul's case here. He encourages him. Paul might have thought that he failed. We don't know. Maybe not. But the Lord doesn't say that he failed. What's he say? For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. Think about that. Does that not speak of a plan that's unfolding and still unfolding? Paul, take courage. I'm still in control. I'm still working. There is a plan unfolding here. See, it's a reminder that no matter how things appear, God is in control and there is a plan unfolding. Sure, it looks hopeless at times. Sure, we can't understand why the road has taken the turn that it has. But as we see in our text this morning, the Lord wants us to know that He has a plan, and we will find a place of refuge and peace if we'll just trust and follow Him in it. We don't read, notice this also. The Lord doesn't come and say, Paul, I'm with you, Paul, but man, the way you shared, that was just so bad. No wonder you failed. And if I'm going to use you later on in Rome, we got to do a whole new thing here. Come on, I got to teach you a whole new, you got to rephrase your whole testimony. Matter of fact, let's skip the testimony here. Here, I got this booklet on the four spiritual laws. Here, why don't you start using that or something? He doesn't do that, does he? See, Paul might say, well, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have said it that way. What does the Lord say? For as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, even though they didn't receive it, didn't act upon it. Do you understand? We're not responsible for someone's response. We will not get a lesser reward if they don't receive Jesus than if they do. Our part, the only part we're responsible for, is the sharing. And he goes, for as you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness in Rome. He doesn't find fault in it, doesn't get on his case. He just goes, hey, you're on track. I know how they responded, but that's not your turf. We're not responsible for how people respond. We're responsible for putting out there what God has told us to. Now, another point. Paul here has the promise that he will indeed show up in Rome. That's going to make so much difference for Paul in these coming days, because he's going to go before all kinds of rulers and all kinds of things. Think of how much this encouraged him. Think, once God tells you something, you rest in that promise, that's your place of peace. And he has this promise now he's going to go to Rome. But look at this. Go to chapter 24. You're in 23 right now. Go to 24, verse 27. You see, after our verses this morning, Paul gets taken to the Roman stronghold there at Caesarea. Now watch, verse 27 of 24. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus succeeded Felix, and Felix, wanting to do the Jews a favor, left Paul bound. What? 2 years later, he's still not at Rome. He's in Caesarea. Now, Paul does get to Rome eventually, but in God's timing. Don't think that Paul saw the fulfillment of the promise immediately. It says 2 years, 2 years plus until it happened. Not days, not weeks, not even months. More than 2 years after the promise. We wait 2 hours and we're stressed. You know, God speaks to us. Okay, Lord, I'll give you 2 seconds. Okay, I'll give you 2 minutes. But 2 hours later, we're like, Lord, you said. 2 weeks? 2 months? 2 years? Look at Abraham. It's a long time from the promise till the child that God had for him came along there. 2 years here. Have you waited what seems like a really long time in a promise of God? Don't give up. He's still in control. He's still working. I've seen prayers answered years after beginning to pray that prayer. Don't you give up. Remember, God is never late. Well, the Bible speaks often of God's presence and His work. Do you see how important it is to believe, to understand, to really rest in, by faith, the fact of God's presence and that He's in control? And whether we see it or not at the moment, His plan is unfolding. See, He wants us to enter into the rest He has for us. Be of good courage. Put your own name in there. Be of good courage. You put your name there. I know you think you failed. I know maybe you think things haven't gone the way you planned. And they probably haven't the way you planned. But will you trust? See, He's a redeemer of circumstances. He's a healer of our past. He can make new. He's God. He is in control, and that's what He wants to remind us of. See, that's basically what the Lord's telling Paul. Don't worry. I'm in control. I have a plan for you, and it will happen. My promises will come about. Will you just trust me? Tim, bring your team up, if you would. Don't close up your Bibles yet. Don't grab up all your belongings yet, but I want you to consider now something. I wonder how many here today need to hear what Paul heard on that night. I wonder how many here this morning need to hear God say, now, be of good courage right there in that situation. Oh, I know you feel like you failed. I know things haven't gone the way you thought they would. But I wonder how many here need to hear Him next say, but be of good cheer. Be courageous. Have courage. I have been working, I am working, and I'm going to work. Now, will you just trust that? I wonder how many people here are listening in. I wonder how many need to. Let's take a minute and pray. Father, before we rush off into this day of family and friends or food or a nap or work or whatever the day holds, Lord, You have us here because You're desiring us to hear what You would say to us. And Father, in particular, You've set before us this morning this word You gave to Paul, Lord, and I suspect so many here need to put their name in here. As You declare, be of good courage, that You are working. Lord, I'm sure there might be some here that feel like they have failed, or some that feel like things have not gone the way they thought, and they're wondering, are You through with them? Is there hope for them? Are they usable? Lord, I pray You'd speak to their hearts of letting go of their take on things, and Lord, help them lay hold of Your take on it. Well, we don't ask to see all the journey up ahead. We want to walk by faith. But by faith, Lord, help us to know that You're with us, not down on us, and that Your plan is unfolding. While all of us are praying this morning, while all our heads are bowed, I want to ask each of you to consider, is the Lord speaking to you? Not the other guy, but to you. What He wants you to hear this morning, to be of good cheer. Is that the opposite of what you've been lately? Would the Lord want you to hear that even though you feel you failed, that He's there and He knows. It didn't take Him by surprise. It took you by surprise. It didn't take Him by surprise. Do you feel like things haven't gone the way you planned or the way you wanted? Do you need to hear him say, hey, I'm still in control. I'm still at work. Yes, maybe there's something that you took in your own hands. You need to seek forgiveness for. Do it. Do it right now with him. That you might also hear him say, okay, I've got the steering wheel again. Let's get back on track. But even for those who you've been tracking with him, but again, things have just, well, you're wondering. You're wondering just where, how you got to where you are and if he's going to use you and what the whole thing is. You're confused. I pray for you right now. Indeed, I would ask right now, if that applies to you in any way, I ask you right now just to kind of, in your heart, pray along with me. Receive now the words that the Lord wants to share with you personally about where you're at. Father, our loving, awesome Heavenly Father, you sent your Son. Sent your Son to not just make known the cure for our ailment, but to pay the price, to span the gap, to save us, and to bring us into fellowship. Lord, I pray for those. Lord, if there's anyone who's never done that, first thing first, may they receive that atoning work. May they understand that we're sinners, but you died. You paid the price. Father, help us understand you sent your Son to pay that price. May each one receive who hasn't. But Lord, for those who know you, but Lord, they do feel like they have failed. Something didn't go the way they had wanted or planned. And so they sit here struggling, confused. Father, I join with them now as we look to you. Father, I ask you to speak to their hearts, to be of good courage. Help them put their own name. Lord, you speak their name to them right there where they're at in the midst of that circumstance. Those feelings that can overwhelm. Lord, may they hear you just not audibly, Lord, so much, but just in their heart. Be of good courage. Help them hear you say, I am with you. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. Help them, Lord, to hear you say, I have hope. I have peace for you. Receive it now. Rest in it. Get your eyes off of the things around you. The things that have gone poorly. Things that have not gone the way you thought they should. And on to me. Help them hear you say, I'm at work. I'm going to keep being at work. So Lord, I pray for each one now. Help us receive your peace. Help us receive that hope. Help us receive just the comfort, the mercy, the grace, the love that changes everything. And Lord, help us go out of here now and just rest there. Not let anything or anybody rip it off. Oh Lord, thank you for how very awesome you are. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand. If you're in need of prayer this morning, specific prayer, there are prayer partners by the prayer room. They'd count it a privilege to pray with you. If you need to receive Jesus as Savior, please come let them know that and let them pray with you. And believer, dwell daily with a sense, a consciousness of the reality of His presence in your life. And may you let Him speak to you to be of good courage, that He's in control, no matter what it looks like from our natural senses. Take time to let the Lord say, I'm with you. And watch what it does. Father, as we head out, Lord, I ask you now just to guide and direct and bless each one as we look to you in our days. And Lord, help us to truly live with that sense of your presence. Help us truly live with just an awareness, a surrenderness to you, to your will. And let these days, each day, be days you redeem. As you work in us and through us, that work of your plans and purposes, your courage that you impart to us, Lord. And in the end, Lord, may it all give you the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.